Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Filling in for Mike. He's got a Roby Day going. And it's a thrill for me to be asked to be here. And I haven't done a morning show stink in, oh my God, I don't even know, a long time.
Right.
Long time. But I was in radio purgatory when I was doing mornings in Colorado Springs after being fired from one of my other jobs across the street. Who hasn't been fired by them?
Uh-huh.
Or left them?
Yeah.
Or wanted to leave them? One of those three things.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, I used to drive to Colorado Springs at 4 o'clock in the morning. Every day for 5 years.
Doing really?
Mornings. Yeah.
Oh, you lived here and you drove out there every day? Oh, man. That's a commute right there.
I can give you a little inspirational story this morning.
Yeah, go ahead. Please.
Okay.
By all means.
Now, first of all, you got to understand, Mark didn't even know my real name for like a decade.
That is probably true.
Right.
That's probably true.
And Mark does not even remember, like, me and my wife hanging out with, like, Gus and Ann Farad and Lisa and Ed and, you probably don't even remember I was there a couple times that,
Ed Farad's house?
Yeah. Just say you don't remember. It's
okay.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
That's
all
right. We were there.
Yeah.
That's
all right. Where were you? When we were playing the, bubble hockey game tournament.
Yep.
Yeah. Really? You were there?
Yeah.
It was like a Jets, I think it was a Jets Miami game Monday night.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
I was like, who's the little guy?
Right. Inconsequential.
Yeah, okay, that's all right.
So do you know my, you definitely have my phone number because we've texted, talked
sure,
a million times.
Sure, absolutely.
Do you know what my phone number is? Do you know?
Yeah, it's a 719 number.
719.
Yeah.
Why? Because when I lost my job up here, a little inspirational, hopefully inspirational, I wanted to keep my family stable. I didn't want my kids to move. I got a job down in Colorado Springs. And I said, if it's me commuting 2.5 hours a day, or my kids just staying at school,
right,
I'll commute. And I did that for 5 years. Now, I didn't think I'd have to do it for 5 years.
Right.
Because I thought they would just want me back in Denver so desperately, which they didn't.
It took them a while. It's like a teabag. They had to let it seep for a while, right, before they realized, man, yeah, do we miss D-Mac?
Yeah, Well, it didn't really go like that.
Right, but, okay.
But it eventually happened.
Right.
But I keep the 719. I keep the 719. I don't change it. Nah, that was, you know, a long time ago. But just to remember, it's, as Philip Rivers would say, Nung Chepi, now I begin every day.
That's pretty, you know what? That is pretty cool. And I appreciate that about you because there's a certain competitor. Like, there's a certain competitive spirit within you. Some might call it snarky or some might call it petulant. But I have the exact same spirit. As a matter of fact, so when my career was ending at ESPN, I had multiple conversations. My contract was up in June. I had multiple conversations with my boss in January. And you remember, they were all, because you had called me, like, are you okay?
Right.
Yeah, no, I'm fine.
Right.
Because you didn't know what was going on, I couldn't tell you.
Right.
So in January, we had multiple conversations and I just told my boss, listen, man, you're like, it's time. And at that time, I already knew that I was going to, like, I already had like works. I already had a deal in the works with Fox. I knew that I would move over there. I knew I had another job. So it's easier to be bold when you already know that.
Sure. But still, it's a big change.
But it's a big change. So, after, you know, we had mutually decided to part.
Mm-hmm.
I got a letter of the termination of my deal from ESPN, from the corporate lawyer people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, really? Like, we are no longer going to, you know, we're my contract was up.
Mm-hmm.
And after the fact, and I'd already gone to Fox like a month later, I get this letter like, we're not going to renew your contract, like, da 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 da, like, we have let you go. It's kind of like, it's not us, it's you. And I have that letter hanging.
Yep.
up in the kitchen.
The chip on the shoulder thing is real.
Right.
It's a source of, for me, a competitive basis, and we don't sit here every day, despite our quibbleness, perhaps our shows sometimes. But at the end of the day, we are a team fan all the way.
Sure.
And so what we do in a competitive spirit way is what I take the most pride in year after year after year, to the degree that it gets you going.
Right.
And I think as athletes, you either got that or you don't. And when it comes down to Drew Locke, buddy, we're about to see what he's got.
He sucks.
And I think,
We're about to see it.
I hope.
Because that chip's going to be pretty huge around this point.
Right. When I hear, well, he's working hard and he's showing up and he's done it. Like, I don't need to hear that. You better. Like, that's part of the requirement.
Here we go.
Like, when I heard, when we didn't have a quarterback for that game that I called against New Orleans.
Mm.
And, well, they came in Tuesday on their day off.
Mm.
You know, to work. I hope so. Like, that's not a, let's not put a feather in your cap for coming in on Tuesday. I hope you're doing that every week. And the spin was, oh my, like, we screwed up. We didn't have our masks on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But at least we were in on Tuesday. Well, you know what? Like, I've said this many times. I think part of the problem with the organization, because of the lack of leadership since Peyton left, since DeMarcus left, I think the lack of leadership, I think the guys think they're working hard. I think they're prepping hard. I think they think they're grinding. And in reality, I don't think they are. Because I don't think they understand what it is to grind, to work hard, to do all those things.
Well, in the immortal words of Gary Kubiak, we are
fixing to find out.
We are fixing to find out. 7 a.m. texters. How do you guys feel about 7 a.m. texters?
They're not as good as the 6 a.m.ers, but they're better than the 8 a.m.ers.
Okay.
Yeah.
This just coming in. Listening to DMAC is ruining my morning. Text me when he's off the air.
Aggravates the stew out of me.
See, that's the 7 o'clock. That's the 7 o'clock group right there.
Pro football focused nerds.
Mm-hmm.
Have the Broncos with Deshaun Watson. Details next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
What they fail to realize is that 8 a.m. texters are the 6 a.m. texters who've been listening to Evan's bullcrap for 2 hours. All right.
Wow.
I'm in your world, so he has a point.
So the 8 a.m. texters, come on, the 8 a.m. texters are only up at 8 a.m. because their parents are shaking them down in the basement to get up and go do something.
There you go. You just yell at your own audience? Is that how it goes?
Yeah. I have a really interesting relationship with my audience. You know, I call them names.
I'm just filling in.
I call them names and I get after them a little bit. We have this real love-hate relationship between me and our audience, you know?
Pro Football Focus. They put out a mock.
Uh-huh.
Their mock includes everything. Their mock includes, deals that may be done in free agency and trades and all that. So in their mock, let's just go through it a little bit. They've got the Jaguars taking Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They got the Jets taking Zach Wilson. They have the Falcons with a deal with Miami taking Justin Fields. Then the Dolphins via Atlanta, another deal, get Devonta Smith. Wide receiver, then the, what's five? I'm missing five. Five, whatever.
It's the Bengals taking, got cut off.
A receiver.
Okay. The LSU kid.
Jamar
Chase right?
Thank you. Philadelphia Eagles 6 taking Jalen Waddle. Receiver 7, the Lions taking Micah Parsons. That's a guy I've seen actually mock to the Broncos quite a few times. The Panthers at 8 taking Mac Jones. Oh my God, Dave Tepper's having a heart attack if that happens, but the Panthers are gonna draft a quarterback. And then at 9, it has the Texans. That's right. The Texans.
Right.
Taking Trey Lance. Why? Because Pro Football Focus has the Texans doing a deal with the Broncos for Deshaun Watson. What do you think of that?
And we're going to celebrate, huh, Benny? Listen, if the Broncos could do a deal with Deshaun and get Deshaun Watson here, we'd all be excited. I mean, it would be...
We would?
Oh, yeah.
What about building and all that stuff?
Well, I mean, you're going to have to. You're going to have to try to do it without, you know, a lot of draft capital. And
you're all right with that? What about a starting corner?
Yeah, you're going to need to go get that. You're going to have to be, you know what? You're going to have to be very shrewd and you're going to have to be excellent at development. And the other issue is, and it's funny because I was going through a bunch of stuff this weekend, D-Mac.
Yeah.
Just how teams were built, like how the Bills were built, how the Cleveland Browns have been built, how the Chiefs have been built. And it's really, it is really interesting. It's not just drafting starters. It's drafting starters that are difference makers.
Mm.
Starters that you're not looking to replace. Like starters that are at the best or the top of their proverbial, you know, skill set or their proverbial position in regards to the rest of the league. And really, when you start to look at the turnover on a year-to-year basis, you're turning your team over about 30-35% every year.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of free agents that actually work out on everybody's roster as you go through their rosters and free agent moves they made and guys they let go and stuff, it's amazing how few guys there that really actually work out in the free agent market. That you would say, man, that guy has played here for the last 5 years and has really, like, he is really a difference maker for mm-hmm. us. So, you know, thinking that you are going to hit the jackpot like the Broncos did with Peyton Manning and DeMarcus Ware, and therefore then all of a sudden the Aqib Talibs and the TJ Wards and all the, because they wanted to be there, that, if you're not a good team, like if you don't have that guy, that quarterback or whatever, it's really hard to solidify a free agent class like that. Now maybe Watson gives you, maybe guys look at Watson saying, that's a guy that I want to play with.
Mm-hmm.
That's a guy that I see they can build a team around. But when you hit free agency, a lot of times with a lot of these guys, like the good players are older, right? And they're like,
well, they're
I only got a year or two to get to the promised land. Do you think if the Broncos have to give up the farm to get Deshaun Watson, do you think you instantly are a playoff contender, or do you think you have to continue to build your roster?
I think the history of the NFL has a lot of teams going from 5 to 11 to 11 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
Literally and metaphorically, meaning there's a quick turnaround, which is great about the NFL.
Right.
The reason why the NFL is the best professional sport in America, maybe the world, is because of the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if you're in Buffalo or if you're in New York City, it's irrelevant because of the draft, the salary cap, the slotted salaries. If you do the right set of moves, even if you've done a lot of bad moves, you can turn around like that.
Right.
Deshaun Watson is a total game changer. You know, as was Peyton Manning.
Right.
And the Broncos were 8-8. I mean, you know, we all got caught up into the Tim Tebow time, but they were an 8-8 team. It was a miracle.
Sorry about that.
Sorry, Timmy. Timmy retiring from baseball.
I know.
I guess his dreams only go so far.
Well, you know.
Yeah. Timmy. You know, I love Tebow, but there's some full of crap moments with Tebow that I'm quite aware of. This is one of them.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson. See, I don't think, here's my little theory on this. I don't think you have to give up the farm to get Deshaun Watson. I think it's being overhyped how much you'd actually have to give up for him. I think you definitely would have to give up 2 ones in the value of a third first round pick and a player worth value. Now, you should expand on this. Bradley Chubb's not a first round value?
He was a first round pick, but I don't think right now on the open market, if you were to dangle Bradley Chubb out there on the open market, I don't think you'd get a first rounder in
return. Really?
No.
Why?
Well, he's just coming off another ACL. He's had 3 ACL injuries, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And I think he's a really good football player, but I don't think he's that guy that you look at and say, oh my God, we got to double team that guy every single time. He just does not have that presence. He's got some power. He's got some speed, but he's not elite at either power or speed. Based upon, the guys I watch every week, I think he's a really good football player. I just don't think he would garner a first round value in a trade. If you just put him on the open market, I think you might get a second in return, but I don't think you're getting a first rounder in return.
Oh man, that stinks.
But that's
unintended.
Yeah. But that's just kind of where I'm at with him in general.
Justin Simmons had quotes of the world about the quarterback situation on Twitch while playing video games. All right.
Yeah.
And Cam Newton is heckled by a teenager.
Yeah.
Well, it's 4-down territory next.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is 4-down territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
All right, now, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
First down.
Watson in Denver, though. We just got to see what happens, man. I like Drew. You know what I'm saying? I think if anyone adds somebody like Deshaun Watson, you're automatically contenders, right? That dude is he is an amazing talent. And with that being said, I also love Drew, and I think he's going to be great as years go on, you know?
That's Justin Simmons, who is playing Call of Duty for 8 hours on Twitch. Time in your day. And stink. I guess he was sticking up for Drew Locke.
Yeah, he said he liked Drew Locke, but, obviously.
But you're an instant contender with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
But you like Drew Locke.
You know what I find interesting? Everybody on the, you're an instant contender with Deshaun Watson, yet he went 4-12 in Houston.
Okay, keep going.
Right, I'm just,
yeah. What are you saying?
I'm just.
What are you saying?
I'm saying complete
what
football.
Are you saying?
I'm saying complete football teams with a great quarterback are instant contenders. If you've got a great roster and you insert a great quarterback, yes, you are instant contender. If you have a really poor roster and you insert a great quarterback, you may win a couple extra games, but you're not an instant contender. So it just depends on
why you feel. Why were the Texans a bad team?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that go on. I think there's a lot of things. I think they're not very good up front. They don't know how to run the ball. I think they were done with their coach. They had no GM. That the culture within that organization is terrible. So I think there's a lot of factors that added to the 4-12 season in Houston.
And next on 4-down territory.
Second down.
Watson fakes the give to David Johnson. Steps to his left. Throws inside the 5. He has Fuller. He stands up. He runs in. Touchdown, Houston. 19 yards to Will for Deshaun Watson.
I think the Panthers just cut everybody's grandmother. Who haven't they cut? How have they not tried to make room? They are overboard right now in terms of making a declaration about how they want to prepare for Deshaun Watson. Now, you don't have to do it that way. I mean, you can make a deal and then, you know, make room later.
Right.
But the Panthers think are going overboard. Why?
Well, they feel like with their owner, they feel like if they had Deshaun Watson with a dynamic young offensive coach who learned his way in the NFL. Now, I did a couple Carolina games, so Matt Rhule and I have talked at length on several different occasions. I will say this. If you're a young quarterback, right, and you know you have a young offense, well, I don't know how young Matt Rhule is, but a young NFL coach that understands offense, that is a dynamic personality, or you can come here to a guy that maybe doesn't have the same dynamic personality and coaches on the defensive side of the ball. Like, if you're just, if you only have two guys and they're recruiting Deshaun Watson, where do you think Deshaun Watson would lean toward if he met, or you had an hour to meet with Matt Rhule or an hour to meet with Vic Fangio? And that's where you had a, that's no rosters, nothing. You just had to make your decision on those 2 minutes.
What steakhouse am I eating a hamburger with Vic Fangio if I'm Deshaun Watson? Next on Four Down Territory.
Third down.
Please don't be one to miss me. Like, you said something to me, then I go, well, I'm really trying to talk to you. I'm not trying to, like, crack no jokes. I'm just really trying to ask a simple question. I'm sorry. It's your fault why everybody's looking, but I'm really just trying to ask a question. But you never said what you did. You said you're going to see.
That is Cam Newton, who got into it with a high school teenager at a football camp.
Mm-hmm.
About the teenager telling him you're a free agent, and Cam telling the teenager he's rich. Now, the way I saw it is I think Newton was saying the rich thing. I think he was having fun initially, but then it just kind of kept going on, right, and on and on and on and on. My initial reaction was that camper, that kid is way out of line. Because who is any teenager to talk to an adult that way? Let's just start there.
Right.
Like, who do you think you are, period? Never mind if there's, you know, he's hosting his own sports talk show on the internet at his local high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually can't really get over that. And what Cam Newton says back to him, actually, Cam Newton asked for, where's your dad?
Right.
And I felt like that was the proper response.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not threatening the kid. You're asking, where the hell's your dad? Because that's the guy I need to have a talk with about you. Your feelings about Cam Newton and that interaction.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the how desensitized we are. And I don't know if that's all social media or if that's all, like, all that stuff. I saw a great tweet from Christian Bale. And it wasn't about this in particular, but it was just about kind of social media and just the level of discourses we have as a society. He said, if you have a problem with me, pick up the phone and call me.
Mm.
If you don't have my number, then we're probably not good enough friends for you to have a problem with me. You don't know me well enough to have a problem with me. And, you know, I just think that there is this desensitized aspect of our society where everybody hides behind a keyboard and you feel brave. And then sometimes I think some people take it to the next level. Maybe it's just for the attention, whatever the case may be. But yeah, that kid is at a free camp, football camp, that Cam Newton is literally, you know, putting on. And the level of disrespect.
Right. Off the charts, right?
Oh, unbelievable.
And let's just call that and never mind ripping on Cam for anything, because
yeah,
you got to be kidding me.
Right.
Literally. Next on Fourth Down Territory.
Fourth Down.
This is really my fault.
Wow.
The Broncos were ranked by ESPN as having the worst draft class in the NFL of the 2020 draft class is. Fair or not fair?
I don't think it's ever fair after one season to grade a draft class.
Agreed.
I think it's silly. Now, I mean,
but the Broncos did one of the all-time stupid things in going back-to-back receiver in the first and second round.
Absolutely.
That was
But they were getting praised for it when it,
Not by me, they were.
Not by you. Certainly not by me or you.
Mel Kiper? Mel Kiper said that was a good idea. Listen, anybody with a brain in their head locally, listen, there was some grudging, and you may have even grudgingly been okay with Jerry Jeudy. Grudgingly. But none of us who spend thousands of hours thinking about this stuff, none of us would have ever guessed in a million years the Broncos would have gone back-to-back wide receiver. It was brutally bad philosophically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the price you pay. Listen, we thought the problem was Garrett Bowles. None of us saw that either, to be fair. Nobody saw the turnaround of Garrett Bowles. That was brilliantly.
You know, my zone is GB zone.
Well, but there is probably pretty fair expectation that there might have been Juwan James issues. Well, I thought we were going to need two tackles, Mark. We talked about it all the time.
Right.
Okay, you don't want, you know, to see Tristan Wirfs go two spots in front of the Broncos. I mean,
right.
And then we're told, well, he's a right tackle, not a left tackle. Talent is talent. I mean, you know, just get him and okay.
Right. And I looked at body type wise. I thought, man, he could go down in the guard and just be an absolute beast. Either way.
He was
great. Tampa's draft was unreal. It was unreal good. But.
And you got the deepest.
Oh, good for you.
You got the deepest receiver class. Yeah, can't pick up Chase Claypool.
Yeah.
You can't get somebody like that in the second round? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Brandon Ayuk, my guy. Arizona State. Come on now. He's really a first-round guy, though.
He's a really good player.
Oh, yeah. Go Devils. That's in your face. Territorial Cup. Really?
Oh.
Does anybody even know? Nobody can.
No, nobody
can. Okay, Troy Rank. Ian Desmond. Little Arizona State talk for you. That's just what you're tuning in for this morning.
Exactly.
Yeah, bear down. Troy Rank joins us next. Our guy, Troy Rank, and it's Steve Ack filling in for Mike, and I'm thrilled to be able to be here. Troy Rank is presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air. He joins us right now. Troy, good to talk to you in the morning, my friend. How are you?
Going great. I heard that you were on. I was like, wait.
Right.
I'm in some kind of alternate universe.
Right.
Next on the morning.
And I'll be on later today.
Yeah. This can be like 7 straight hours of radio for you.
Just keep going.
Yeah.
I'm like Sandy Clough. Just wind me up. I just keep going.
Nice.
D-Mac's doing like a telethon. He just didn't tell the rest of us.
Well, that's right. That's right. And if you want to donate now, it's 1-800-DMAC. And it'll go to something good. I promise you. Okay. A bunch of stuff to get into you with, but let's go to baseball. Okay, we said earlier we have some complicated thoughts about Ian Desmond tapping out for this year for COVID/family reasons. Troy, help us out with this one. What do you think?
Well, it certainly is prerogative. I respect anyone's decision regarding making a decision for their family and their safety. Clearly that was the case last year when he opted out. This one was a surprise to the team. They thought he was going to be available, and then, you know, right at the last minute, he's not. There seems to be a little difference this time than there was last summer. I mean, for me, regardless, he's played his last inning for the Rockies. I mean, they could say the door's still open to come back, but, I mean, he has no future here. So, it sounds like he was respected by his teammates. That's why this isn't being criticized probably openly. But the reality is his career here with the Rockies, just it never really – worked out, and I can't imagine seeing him play another inning for him.
Is this, for the Rockies, is this almost kind of a blessing in disguise? I mean, he hasn't, I know that he's a good baseball player, and I know that he works hard and all those things, but he just hasn't been that productive. Is this almost a blessing that they get to move on here and they don't have to, you know, figure that out? It kind of figures itself out?
I mean, ordinarily I'd say yes if they were trying to force him into the lineup and like they were a contender. Like, you know, there's nights I'd watch the Nuggets and it feels like, well, we got to get Barton in. We've got to get MPJ his minutes. Like they're trying to figure out how pieces fit and they force things. With Desmond, they actually needed him as a right-handed bat against left-handed pitching. It would help him be more competitive. But I mean, the reality is they're going nowhere. They're going to be, you know, trying to avoid 100 losses and to not have to pay him. You're better off playing young players. They just really don't have a lot of young players. It wasn't like he was blocking the path of a bunch of guys. It means Tapia for sure should start, which is a good thing. He played well last year. Can Sam Hilliard take advantage of this opportunity with more playing time? Will one other outfielder emerge? I mean, is it a good thing? I would say, Mark, in general, yes, because they're going nowhere and you're better off focusing on young players playing than playing a veteran that doesn't have a future here.
Okay. Yeah, I guess we just never really expected him to be part of the team this year anyways. You know, I'm guessing most people were like, oh.
I kind of forgot he was on the team. Like, he went away last year, and I just kind of forgot about
it. It's funny, because talking to Troy last week, Troy, if you remember, I said, well, what's the starting lineup for the Rockies? And you didn't even bring up Ian Desmond. You're like, Hilliard in center and, you know, Hampson there and, you know, that sort of thing. I guess it's not that big of a deal then. Maybe that's it, Troy. Is that right? It's just not that big of a deal.
Right, like if this were 2 years ago and they're coming off playoff berths and all of a sudden a guy who's a platoon guy who's going to be a key starter against left-handed pitching opts out before a spring training starts, you're like, man, because you really don't replace that at that point. In this case, it's just, you know, again, I wish Desmond well. I've had nothing but professional dealings with him. It just didn't work out here, like a number of decisions over the last 3-4 years with free agents. It just didn't work out, and if Ian is, you know, more comfortable at home with his family, then all the power to him. I just can't see him playing another snap here. Playing another inning here.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, this one, like Ian Desmond, I am also opting out of the Rockies' 2021 season. Wow. How many people, what are you hearing about fans even being able to go to Coors Field? By the way, let me bring up a baseball thing real quick. Interesting weekend. And Troy, your son's been going with college baseball now for a little bit. College baseball has started, and college baseball here in Colorado has started. So let me just tell you kind of a quirky thing that I saw with my own two eyes. Baseball. UNC played Colorado Christian at All-Star Park. That's in Lakewood. Okay. Fans. Mark, Troy, you want to come in? Come in. You got to wear a mask, whatever. Mm-hmm. We got fans. We're fans of the stands. Metro was hosting Fort Hays State in Denver, just a couple miles down the road. No fans allowed in whatsoever. Where are we going with fans? Do you guys see where I'm going here? Like, there's a difference from one place and then 5 miles. This is for a baseball game, by the way.
Right.
Sitting outside, watching baseball. And by the way, the players and coaches, they had certain rules with the baseballs, but the players weren't wearing masks.
Sure.
I know they're tested on a regular basis, but they're certainly not tested like they would be on the professional level. Troy, what are you hearing at all, or what do you guys think is appropriate for fans being in the stands now?
Well, professional sports, I would think for Major League Baseball, for me, when you get to late May, June 1st, I would think we're starting to see like half capacity. Cause at some point, again, I'm not a scientist, so I'm probably going to talk out of turn here, but between approaching some level of herd immunity, the number of people vaccinated and, you know, the number of people who've contracted the virus, at some point you're going to reach a mathematical logarithm where you can allow fans because of the exposure has changed. And I would hope by June 1st for Major League Baseball, we're looking at like 50% capacity. And I was under the assumption, D-Mac, based on doctors I've talked to, that by August, that training camp would look normal and that football in September would, if not full capacity, be close to that. But you talk about college baseball, you talk about other sports. The hard part is it's literally different from school to school, conference to conference, public versus private, the amount of testing available versus the amount of testing not. There's just no uniformity to it. So what you just described, you know, I've lived that with kids I've coached, my own son. It's completely variable across the board. And that's why it's been difficult for, you know, all people involved. And so I would just hope by early summer, we're seeing at the professional level for sure, crowds approaching a minimum 50%. And by the fall in football, we're almost back to normal.
I got another quick one for you. Did you guys know, because it's limited capacity, but people can go to Rocky Spring training games?
Okay.
Yeah.
They sold out in less than 24 hours for all their spring training games.
Are they playing in a little league field?
2,200 there. I mean, that Salt River Field, which is the best spring training complex for me in the entire world. I mean, it's just a joke how nice it is. It seats with that berm seating. I mean, you're talking about 10 to 11,000. I don't know how you can't space out 2,200 safely. That's where the outdoor seating thing, I'll be honest. It's been confusing when you have outdoor seating and spacing available, why there's been such a huge reluctance on that end. But again, I'm not a doctor or scientist. It's just certain states I traveled. Again, I covered some Bronco road games. There were states I went to, the pandemic was treated seriously. There were states I went to, you would never think the pandemic happened, which again goes back to my point of it's just been so inconsistent in both the way it's legislated, you know, on the local level, and the way it's, you know, people have reacted to it across the board. It's just really been confusing at times.
Yeah, in Texas, where the Rangers play, they had a college of like Texas Tech and Arkansas, some, you know, big time programs. They had like 20,000 people at the game.
Correct.
It was. I don't know if you caught any of that. It was, like, insane.
There is no, like you said, no uniformity of rules when it comes to depending on what part of the country you're in. And, hey, by the way, now, you know, people were all up in arms about the boat parade that they had after the Super Bowl and all that stuff. And the numbers there are still dropping precipitously on a day-to-day basis. So they thought that it might be this super spreader event.
Right.
It's turned out it hasn't been that. So we'll see. But, you know, it feels like we're moving in the right direction.
Well, I don't want to get all political here. My point really is just to say, so many people seem to be upset with the Rockies, and I'm going to boycott, I'm going to protest. And, fellas, I got to call a little BS on that. I think if there's tickets to be sold, they'll be bought up.
Because it's great to go.
Well,
it's great to go.
What's the point in saying I'm going to boycott everything?
Well,
I'm all upset.
Everybody says that. I'm never listening to you again until I flip you back on. But after I've had the 2-minute cooling period. Hey, real quick about the Broncos. Couple of different lists. Obviously, we're in that stage of the year where it's the kind of procurement stage of the NFL season, where you're going out and getting new talent, you're preparing for the draft and all those things. A couple of things right now about Deshaun Watson and big news, you know, that we're the front runners. So Vegas says we're the front runners, but the potential of guys getting cut, strong candidates for release. Vaughn Miller, Jarrell Casey top this list that has been printed at NFL.com. Give me a little insight on Vaughn Miller, Jarrell Casey, and what's going to happen with Justin Simmons. Just if you could kind of get us in that direction for the Broncos.
Yeah, we'll start with Vaughn. He's the biggest name. I'd say at this point it's still about 50-50. The most likely scenario is that they could go to him and ask for a pay cut. He's scheduled to make $18 million coming off a missed season, and his lowest sack total in 19 was his lowest sack total since 2013. But the issue is they don't need the cap room. So his agent and Vaughn could say, hey, yeah, I can understand you asking us for a cut, but you don't need the cap room, so we're just not really down for this pay cut. And once they ask him for a pay cut, Mark, they have to be prepared for him to move on. So I'd say it's 50-50 on Vaughn. It hasn't been decided. Had Elway been the one making this decision solely, I think Vaughn's back. But with George Payton, it's a chance, you know, and a fresh start in a lot of ways. So I'd say 50-50. With Jarrell Casey, I don't see a scenario where he's back unless for some reason he wants to play at a lot less money. And I don't know why he would do that and not just go try to land with a contender. Now, he was great in the locker room. He was, you know, everything as advertised, but he got hurt. And he only played 3 games. So I would think he is certainly a much stronger candidate to be cut than Vaughn. Justin Simmons, there's more momentum this year to get a long-term deal done. The window opens tomorrow, so you can franchise tag him. They have to make that decision by March 9th. My guess is we sit here today, based on every source I've talked to, it leans toward franchise tag to buy time for the window until July 15th. He would be the first safety with back-to-back franchise tags since Donovan Darius in 2005. So it's unusual, but I know from talking to people in the industry, George Payton understands how important this is to not only the Broncos, his blueprint of draft and development, but the locker room. Justin Simmons is the guy the other players are looking to and saying, he's all pro, he's Pro Bowl, he's Walter Payton Man of the Year, he's a leader on the field and off it. If that guy can't get extended, it sends a very interesting message to the rest of the locker room. So I do think a long-term deal gets done. It's better for the Broncos if it does, because he could play this year at $5 million rather than $13.7, which is what his franchise tag number would be.
I appreciate it, Troy. I'll talk to you at a reasonable time. I'll talk to you at a reasonable time. I guess you keep doing this, but I'll talk to you at a reasonable time later on this week.
Hey, you got it, my man. Good to hear from you. Take care, guys.
Denver 7, Troy Rank, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air, KKFN and KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.